This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for KNC.
What?
The real KNC.
It's called the only KNC now, right?
Best producers in the market.
Morning show producers.
Curtis and Ken. I love those guys very much.
Podcast stars.
Oh, how do you not know that? And you'd be like, Curtis, idiot.
Lumpy. Come on, Lumpy.
Lumpster, you moron.
And now.
5:30 a.m. The real KNC to live radio every Monday, a half hour before the show.
Live on the air?
Live on the air. 93.7.
This place is going to drop in ratings.
Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on your radio.
I think it's a bad idea.
Here's Ken.
Can I just say something to you, Ken?
Yes, you can.
I love you.
And Chris.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults. They are sycophants. Both of them will try to make me look like an ass.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
It's the real and only KNC. It's the MNC pre-show. Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
Blues Man and Lumpster. Back yet again. The show is building momentum weekly, I would say.
Epic.
Yep. Lots of reaction last week from Mutt and Reamer. Reamer gets so rattled by anything we say on this show. It's unbelievable. Mr. Paranoia. I would say if we don't talk about him, he'd be rattled as well. So I just want to praise Reamer off the bat and just say he's done a terrific job. Fantastic job for him.
Excellent job, especially yesterday, Reams. Loved the hoop head. Loved the hoop talk. Spectacular.
Reamer's great. All right, now, not as great as Wiggy. Wiggy is the best. Both those guys on with Mutt today. Jerry is off, and Jerry's going to be off for a couple weeks. I would say on Mutt. Mutt is feeling the heat because Chris Curtis and Ken Laird are getting a lot of airtime this week. Tomorrow, Mutt, Ken, and Curtis. It's the real and only KNC with Mutt as the third man in.
Well, he's sort of going to be getting our coffee, doing other things.
I mean, third producer, as he always is. And you are hosting. Now, I will say, we initially billed it as Curtis is hosting the entire show.
Right.
That's been peeled back to just an hour per our last check with the program director, right?
Right. It's 7 a.m. both tomorrow and Wednesday, with the caveat, unless somebody makes news by being an alcoholic or getting in trouble, because that's the only time I actually get to host at this station. So if there's a big issue with Josh Gordon news, I'll be hosting the whole show. But just for now, 7 to 8 tomorrow.
Now, why is this? Now the PD said he thought you were going to host 4 hours when Jerry was in, but that was never going to work. I mean, Jerry would have never let you host for 4 hours. He would never have played along with that, would he?
Right. I don't think so. But
so Mutt must have gone to Joey and complained at some point last week, so it got peeled back to an hour. So he's trying to now, you know, he doesn't want to hurt Mutt's feelings because, you know, Mutt's seriously threatened by you, as we know.
Typical Chris Curtis.
He is incredibly threatened by me, and last week when you were out, one of the days, Mutt was in Joey's office for like 20 minutes. Sir, hi, Joe. May I please enter? Can I please buy my own flight to spring training next year and stay at a hotel of my choosing, Joe? It was all of that going on. So I'm sure that was the topic of the conversation.
You and Mutt have a very strange relationship, I would say, observing it, you know, being here and from afar. And we'll unpack this, I think, even further tomorrow. But you spent part of the weekend with Mutt. Like, you guys like each other but seriously hate each other. It's very strange. And you actually got intimate with his family this weekend?
It was.
And I mean intimate.
Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable. Saturday, there was the final races at Suffolk Downs. Mutt had sent us a group text saying that there was a Mutnansky family race on Saturday honoring his devotion to this god-awful sport. And so I was at my house. My father-in-law was in town, and I was looking for sort of an exit strategy, sort of do something fun and get out of the house. So I said, what better to do?
Yeah.
I didn't
natural
call.
Reaction.
So my plan was to arrive and sort of see him in his element without him knowing I was getting there.
Good plan.
And I thought
investigative, like your trip to Eastie.
Exactly. And I get there, and it is jammed. I mean, it was packed with degenerates. And so I'm walking around. I can't find him anywhere. There's no cell reception whatsoever at Suffolk Downs. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to leave. Like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to, like, go door to door and find everybody at this place. Out of the blue, this woman, very nice woman, comes up to me and she goes, are you Chris Curtis? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, I'm Mrs. Mutnansky. I'm Mutt's mom. I was like, oh, my God. What are the odds of 15,000 people, this one person? So I ended up at the Mutnansky sort of tailgate at the Suffolk Downs event.
We saw the pictures tweeted at us. He had his own reserved section, right? Were you in the Mutnansky section?
I never made it to the Mutnansky section. Oh, okay. I think that was Sunday. Saturday, there was just a couple of lawn chairs, and I met the kids. I saw his beautiful wife and his parents. Mm. It was as bizarre as could be, but the highlight of the whole day was Scott from New Balance comes around the corner and starts talking to me. And I was like, this is a new place in the depths of hell. I'm standing here. It's 85 degrees, 100% humidity, Mutt's bombed. I have no exit strategy. And Scott from New Balance comes
Scott's
up to me.
Scott's a great guy. He gives us free memberships, well, trade memberships to New Balance. Terrific gym.
And he starts He starts talking to me about how he had a 5:45 tee time.
Oh,
and he's
no.
talking about his round of golf. And I was like, I'm drinking.
He gave you the Dino.
I just started drinking again. I said, I'm done.
Well, you'll be unpacking, I'm sure, insights to Mutt's family.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, you're meeting the parents. So he met your parents. So you've met his parents.
Right. We're like basically best friends.
Yes. Very, very interesting. Okay. Now, that's tomorrow. Now, as far as Mutt goes, last week on the show, we really dug into Mutt pretty good. I think, you know, we'll take a week off from really getting psychoses of the Mutt man. It's interesting, but it also creates problems. Now, I think he was a little rattled, though, that you gave some back office information about him. Did he confront you on that yet? I think that's going to be also an issue tomorrow.
Which back office information?
We talked about him ripping Kirk's show.
Oh, my God. That was what a fallout from that occurred.
Correct.
I mean, it was a little dicey, a little icy with Mutt. But it's always a little icy with
Mutt. But then
he
got over it, so it seems...
I never know. Honestly, the one thing Mutt has is a poker face, because I never know what he's thinking. If he's really mad, if he's sort of mad, if he's just sort of acting like he's mad, if we have the Mutt rage going on, it's very difficult to discern.
That whole conversation created a chain of events, at least in one location, where Jerry was getting totally ripped by both of his ex-co-hosts, or his two most recent ex-co-hosts.
Right. His two most famous ones, yes.
And Dino went on the Planet Mikey podcast, and Dino also unloaded on Jerry, which
incredible.
Which has, you know, it's happened fairly consistently. Now, this is a four-minute chunk of audio, and I want to play this. This is the best part of Dino's appearance with Mikey. He takes a little shot at Mutt in there, or somebody does, which is a given.
It's part of it.
But mostly it's taking Jerry to task. Is it Judas Jerry? Is it St. Peter Jerry? I want you to answer this question when we're all done here, because as Jerry said, there's no in-between. You have to take one extreme or the other.
Right.
But you were here. Now, when did you start with Dennis and Callahan?
April 1st, 2013.
Okay, so you don't go back to 2007. There are two anecdotes that Dino tells in this whole spiel, which call into question Jerry's character. Or I shouldn't say that. The first part is revealing in terms of Dino says he went to bat for Jerry. But listen to a little bit of this, and then we'll pause it throughout, and I want you to tell me whether it's truth or fiction as far as you know.
So we'll do.
The early parts you may not know. But here we go. This is where Dino starts it off with the reveal.
So here's my problem. I have no problem with Kirk. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have is with disloyal, backstabbing Jerry Callahan.
There you go.
Pause for effect.
Wow, healthy.
Because had it been me, I would have come to both of these two knuckleheads, Dennis and Minahan, and said, listen, Dino's got 9 months to go here. Can we just play nice?
For 9 months.
Right. He'll finish his contract and go, then we'll do whatever we want to do.
And let this be a graceful for everybody situation.
And by the way, pause this for a second, John. This is 2014, late 2014, early 2015 and 2016,
right,
when I started on
Correct.
The show. In June of 2016, you had left a couple months earlier, but
right,
this is this awkward period they're talking about where Kirk is in and then nobody's speaking to anybody. And, you know, that was legitimate. Dino was trying to get another year out. He had already announced he's leaving in a year, right?
He had. And the biggest part of this period of Dennis and Callahan history is that John every day was commenting on how he had 232 days until
right,
he was playing golf.
Yeah.
He was going to Miramar Lakes in 90 days, whatever it was. So much so that management at the time called him into the office and said, listen, this isn't your, you know, three-year goodbye ceremony.
It's the Derek Jeter farewell tour. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Not enough. I mean, he needed every day to mention how excited he was to stop working. And his work on the air reflected that. He wasn't as prepared. He wasn't listening to other shows. He wasn't bringing anything to the table, which obviously bothered Kirk and Jerry, who were not done in 6 months.
Right. Okay. So continue.
He chose to hitch his wagon to Kirk and stick his Kirk's because he knew he wanted another 3-year contract after this. I was
right,
not going to be a part of that. I couldn't help him acquire that.
Right.
But Kirk could. So he felt much like Joey Zarbano with Jeff Brown. I've got to put my up his damn near killed him. And,
good one,
and crap all over Dino in the process. Now here's the real irony of that. Back in 2007 when Jerry had throat cancer, and I don't believe I've ever told this story to anybody but my wife and a few other people.
Let's hear it.
Andre Tippett.
Jerry had throat cancer in 2007, was out for the summer, spring and summer, for 5 or 6 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was co-host du jour, which is very difficult, you know.
Sure.
Different guy every day.
Jerry was
different
on a blast.
Rhythm, different rhythm, the whole thing, there's no whatever. And
well,
that's
it's still better than working with Mutt.
It's always got to be one shot.
But if you put papers in the corner and you spank him with a newspaper on the nose, he'll go over there and pee. Mutt will.
Wow. I don't know. I've had bad experience with monkeys.
Jeez.
They throw at me.
They do.
Sometimes on the air.
They do.
Tell that story.
Anyway,
good exchange,
so in 2007, Jerry was out for 4, 5, or 6 months with throat cancer. This is when Dennis and Callahan were at the height of our earning power. But it's also when the radio business in Boston was beginning to change and all these huge salaries were starting to come down.
Yeah.
Because there were so many other entities and so many other platforms that people were investigating and looking into and all that sort of stuff. So it was very clear to us that we were not going to make that kind of money anymore.
The big number.
And they came to me when Jerry was away and out and said, listen, we would like to sign you to a new contract. And we'd like to give you a 10% raise. I said, what are you? What's the catch? And they said, well,
you got to work with Minahan.
No. We want to let Jerry go at the end of this contract and put you with someone much less expensive. So we'll make up the difference of what, you know, Jerry was making and what you're making and the 10% on top of what we're going to pay you now.
Wow.
With somebody like a Mutt. I had no idea. I was never given a name. But somebody
right, now
making,
pause here for a second. Now, do you know this to be true?
I do not. I have never heard that before until this moment.
So
right
it could
now.
Be true, could not be true.
I highly
John,
doubt it.
John is making a point here that he took one for the team. He's going to explain a little further. And they were ready to run Jerry out of here, and he went to bat for Jerry.
It is my understanding that in that negotiation, before they got their big deal in 2007, that John was a passenger on Jerry's train with his agent, formulating a business plan that they showed off to wooers, including our current boss, who was then with 98.5, about a way to maximize their earnings in that period.
Right.
So, but that's how I know it. I have no idea. Obviously, I wasn't there. I was 6 years later at the station, but
it's
the first I've heard it.
All right, well, here we're the second half of this on the other side. We will step aside for the news update. It's the Real and Only KNC. This is live radio with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis, the producer team of Mutt and Callahan. Mutt and Callahan coming up at 6 a.m. this morning. Big NBA reaction, and I'm sure NHL reaction.
Ooh.
Marcus Johansson talking to several teams, none of them Boston. Artemi Panarin being wooed by several teams, as you know.
Panarin has got a great left shot.
Oh, I know. You've broken it down multiple times. It's only gets tiring in the back room.
Oh, my God.
Down the old
I have a Panarin poster. It's a little sticky.
Duchesne to Nashville. A lot of NHL and NBA free agency nuggets to get to. But more from Dino on the Planet Mikey podcast, ripping Jerry Callahan after the news update. This is WEI. Yes, indeed. Leading up to Mutt and Callahan, it'll be Mutt, Wiggy, and Reamer coming up at the top of the hour. I thought overall positive trip to London will be discussed. It was a pretty good weekend.
What a weekend for baseball.
Yep. Jess Mendoza, Rob Manfred, all great. Julian Edelman's documentary, all terrific. I would just praise them across the board. Now, we were talking about the Dino podcast with Planet Mikey, Jerry getting trashed by both of his ex-co-hosts last week. Just want to say as an aside, this particular podcast, again, second straight week, Mutt is in the back office ripping the producer of that show.
It was incredible. He's
like,
killing
like
this guy. Ben Kitchen, who used to work here, he's
cheap
ripping
shots
him.
At Ben Kitchen. Yeah.
Saying he's, you know, an idiot. One of the drops he's been playing was a horrible producer while he was here. With unprovoked attacks against producers, and it needs to stop.
All right, now we played the first half of this where Dino was recounting 2007. He stood by Jerry when he had throat cancer, and he threatened to basically leave if they didn't give Jerry the deal. They wanted Jerry out in 07 for somebody younger and cheaper. You're basically saying you're not quite sure what the truth is.
I highly, highly, highly doubt those series of events as relayed by John Dennis, but you never know.
But now 2014, you definitely were here when Dino was off in his alcohol rehab, and here's the final minute of Dino's shot at Jerry Callahan last week.
But somebody making minimum wage,
that could have ruined it.
And you've got to sign off on working with this other guy, and you can have 10% more. And I said, that is a rotten goddamn thing to do. I said, are you kidding me? He is fighting for his life with throat cancer, and you're doing that? I said, tell you what, Julie, either sign us both, or get rid of us both. And they signed us both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because get rid of you both, you could have gone anywhere as a package
Correct.
Deal.
Correct. Yes.
So you knew that.
Now, one more part of the story. When I went away in 2014 for alcohol rehab, 30 days in the middle of nowhere, I was told when I came back that there was a meeting between Phil Zachary and Jerry Callahan was there. And Callahan said, in the 30 days I was away, do you think we could let him go and have Ordway be the co-host of the morning show with me? So while I am out struggling for my life, trying to get my alcohol issues squared away.
That's where the Ordway rumor came from.
That's correct. Jerry wanted me out and Ordway in while I'm in alcohol rehab. That's why he's a disloyal backstabber.
There you go. That's John Dennis, everybody.
So let me jump in here. That the notion that Jerry Callahan orchestrated some Glenn Ordway coup when Dino was away in rehab for the days he was there, I find to be an absolute lie. I think what occurred was that that Kirk and Jerry were tired of John long before the rehab was an issue here, and that they wanted to find a replacement. If you recall, Phil Zachary was a huge Ordway supporter, loved Glenn. They were, you know, contemporaries in the radio industry, all of that. And I strongly believe that Phil and others in management suggested to Kirk and Jerry, what do you think about having Ordway in, which is a totally different scenario. And it's this woe is me card that John likes to play, that he was this guy that was, you know, standing up for Jerry when he was there and that Jerry didn't have his back when he was in rehab is just patently false. He used to make up all these things back then that Jerry wasn't supportive in the meeting we had when we were discussing his alcoholism when he had come back from rehab, and that he didn't say anything in the meeting and that he wasn't supportive. It's just, it's a victim mentality, which is actually the first thing they teach you in recovery, is to not blame others for your situation, blame yourself, figure out how to fix it, and move on with your life and improve things. John obviously hasn't done any of those things.
And the fact is they didn't move Dino out for Ordway, of course, whatever happened there. I mean, I seem to remember that story being told on a previous version of Kirk and Callahan, that Ordway was trying to come back, and it was openly discussed during that period. I mean, they were trying to find a spot to get Glenn back in.
Right.
And it was a possibility for the morning when Dino would retire or whenever they would come to some
Ordway was working in an attic with Alex Reamer and Pete Shepard. He would have crawled on glass to come back to the building. And who do you think Mikey's wondering where the rumor started? Ordway starts every rumor. It was obviously Ordway who started the rumor of his coming back.
Which, by the way, as a quick aside, yesterday I'm listening to Wiggy and Reamer. Reamer's getting texts on the air from Ordway.
Oh,
I didn't even know those guys spoke
to each other.
It's like
a bat signal. Whenever NBA talk goes on EEI, Ordway just texts whoever's hosting.
He's but Reamer read the texts. I mean, Ordway totally shunned him. They tried to present Reamer as an option for the afternoon show recently.
Absolutely.
I was like a fourth man in there.
Correct.
Ordway wanted no part of him. Now right. Reamer's like reading Glenn's texts on the air. What has happened?
Well, it's like me 4 years ago with Jin. Whenever there's basketball, you're like start shaking and Glenn has to text everybody who's talking about
mid-level
it.
Mid-level exceptions.
I'm surprised
sign
he didn't drive in from the South Shore to come on the air. God.
All right. So the question was presented then. Is Jerry Judas or is Jerry Peter? I mean, you got to pick one or the other. This is the old Dino Jerry decision. You stand by Jerry through everything.
Jerry Callahan is not Judas. Jerry Callahan is Peter. He has a horrible, there has been a horrible misrepresentation of who Jerry Callahan is by those that have worked with him because he's an easy target at times on social media. But Jerry's a good guy. He was not Judas to John Dennis. I say that. I know I've defended him. I would be honest about it. Everything that I saw, Jerry wanted to do a good radio show. He was right in thinking that Kirk would be better with him than John. They did a great show together for a couple years. And obviously, if John were in the same situation where he had to choose with it on his career as his former partner, he would have chosen his career as well. So it's a lie that John is telling.
Yeah, I mean, and I was here for those couple of months where it was, can we get another year out of these guys? And it just, I mean, John doesn't want to blame Kirk for it, but Kirk fully admitted he wanted John out. He was trying everything he could to get him out because, like you say, they weren't talking. It was the countdown. It was awkward. Kirk wanted to get about doing his radio. And John, to his own admission, didn't want to change. So everybody was against John continuing that for a year, it seemed, for the most part, management on down, not just Jerry.
Every single show with those three, when it was still Dennis and Callahan, it was the first 2 minutes to 4 minutes of Dino's, this today is brought to you by the letter B, his idiotic, nonsensical monologue. And then for the final 3 hours and 56 minutes, Jerry and Kirk would take hold of the show and do what they thought was interesting. They had a similar thought process about what was good radio and what wasn't. John did not share that. He wanted to play, a horrible Buster Olney sound 15 times a show, whereas Jerry and Kirk wanted to argue about the top issues of the day. And then obviously it was the right choice.
What are you looking forward to today? We got Mutt and Callahan coming up with Mutt, Wiggy, and Reamer. NBA reaction, I think, will dominate. We knew Kemba going back to last Wednesday, but the rest of the pieces, of course, Kyrie and Durant and on down the list.
Two things.
Can Mutt handle all this?
We'll see. Two things I am most looking forward to. Ken Laird with a list of bigs and NBA stuff that you're ready to reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have the Mutt reaction to his afternoon with me at Suffolk Downs on Saturday.
I don't think he's going to talk about that. I think he's going to pivot, and you're going to have to confront him on that tomorrow.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
I think he's going to be out of that like Dale and Mark James don't want any part of each other. Wiggy's in. We love that. Reamer is in, of course. He's the best. He's great.
Great job, Alex. Love you, bud.
Coming up, it's Mutt and Callahan. This is The Real and Only KNC live Mondays 5:30 to 6 here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.